Good morning, and welcome into the Blitz here on this Wednesday morning. Feels good. Feels real good on this Wednesday morning. Every day, you just wake up, you're number eight, and it's just, you know that it's going nowhere. It's going nowhere for at least 10 more days, and that feels pretty good, but this is the Blitz. We're live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Charlie Collier to my left, Andy Brock. Back behind the board, the Sam Beard. Actually, I can't say the, I forgot Ohio State trademarked that. Just Sam Beard, the redacted. Gentlemen, how are we doing today? Andy, you feeling good this morning?
Feeling good. No complaints, as you said. Got a haircut yesterday, so that's good. Taking care of myself, so yeah, I've got no complaints all around. Ate oatmeal again.
Let's go.
This time I used water, so it wasn't as good.
Oh, that's disappointing.
What flavor?
The strawberry oatmeal. Strawberry oatmeal is good.
But you cut your hair?
I didn't cut my hair. Someone
did
else.
You cut
did.
Like a hair?
I feel like it's a.
I guess I can see it
cut.
In the back. I was looking straight on. I don't know. It looks like the front's like.
Well,
the same.
Well, I'm not trying to do anything too crazy. It's just like a little maintain, you know.
I was thinking I need a haircut.
When was the last time you got a haircut?
That's tough.
I feel like it's been
a couple of months.
I feel like right? The last one you got was probably ditching the mullet.
No, that was when do you think that was?
Probably a solid year ago.
Yeah, probably. I mean, no. I got my second to last haircut was when the Chiefs played the Bengals in the AFC Championship. Because I was at Sports Clips and I had to ask her to turn it off. And she obliged. Before that.
You had to have her turn off the Chiefs Bengals.
The poor Sports Clips employee.
It was just too close to that Titans Bengals loss. It was still a little.
Yeah, I didn't watch. I didn't watch any football from the time the Titans lost until the Super Bowl.
So you missed two games, or I guess then maybe that game after the Titans game, Packers 49ers.
I think I got a haircut in June right before I went to the beach. It appears.
Okay.
So I guess July, August, it's been about 3 months.
Three months.
I finally just kind of, I've been phasing out the mullet for a while, and I was letting just like let natural like long hair take over. But yeah, like hats are not staying on my head too well anymore. I can't keep my hair out of my eyes. I don't know if anyone has any suggestions. Like when I'm at work, I can't wear a hat, so I just always have hair in my eyes. It's very frustrating.
I don't know. I've never had hair as long as yours. So I don't know what the maintenance process is. I
had a bandana last week.
Okay.
I think you should
like
go with that.
A promotional thing, and it was lovely, actually.
Yeah,
I really like bandanas.
One of those headbands like that sit, like push your hair back, you know, like you wear if you were playing soccer or something.
I don't want to look like I'm playing soccer.
Well,
just
you got
get
the
like
hair.
It's not like a headband. It's kind of like a, it's a little thicker than the headband, you know?
Kind, maybe.
What about like the
bandana,
what about the
but
thing that
back.
Like Rafa Nadal wears, where it's like a little tie in the back?
Exactly, it just keeps the hair back, and it looks like you're an athletic specimen.
Oh, I mean, I already look like an athletic specimen, no matter
but
where
this
I
adds
go.
In, this adds in another factor.
Okay, I found it.
I think you need to
Nike
wear that.
Nike Premier tennis headband.
Yeah.
What color should I get?
Probably just white.
Yeah.
Or black.
Okay.
Or just maybe get a variety of colors.
Or should I go
like
psychedelic?
Different ones.
Psychedelic smack is the color.
Whichever one maybe Roger Federer would have worn in honor of his retirement.
I feel like he'd wear like a dark green.
Okay.
Is there like a four or five pack where you get a different color on each one?
Yeah, actually, it does look like there's maybe. I don't know.
I think you should make that like your new signature.
Just the headband everywhere?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like I'd look ridiculous in a headband, though. That's my, like, one concern.
I don't know, man.
Well, you wore a bandana, though.
Yeah, but I looked like a lunch lady.
Well, no, but this one...
I also wore it, like
oh, so you
triangle
wore a full,
style.
You wore a full bandana. Like, it wasn't just on your forehead. Like, it was kind
of
your
whole head. No, I went full cover the top of the head bandana.
Yeah, you just need to go for, like, the forehead style.
I really like the look, honestly, but my mom did not. she said it was not good. She wasn't, she didn't really pull any punches.
Let's see it. No, I think it looks good.
Right? Sam?
Yeah.
Yeah. Lunch lady style.
I like it. It fits the waiter vibe. Looks like you're working hard.
Does. That's what I was thinking. I was like, man, I look like I'm working hard.
It looks like you're working
people
hard.
People are going to think people that I'm
gonna,
trying hard.
People are going to give you good tips.
Sam, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. Can't complain. Not too much that went on yesterday. These non-football days are kind of boring. Just kind of go to bed early and not really.
You don't like use these non-football days to explore other hobbies?
I mean, I was studying yesterday, so I didn't have too much of an opportunity to do one of my other hobbies. I would have loved to go play a round of golf yesterday.
I wish you could have. I would have with you. Instead, I don't really know what I did. Honestly, I think I read a lot of stuff, a lot of articles.
Okay.
Started watching some of the Titans game back.
It's like studying, just like Sam.
Actually, I'll tell you what I did. Yesterday, The Athletic, they published their fourth now edition of the oral history of Zach Greinke. First of all, I know some people that listen are not fans of The Athletic because they don't like David Ubbin. But The Athletic, I think, is still excellent because of and a lot of it's because of, like, their oral history stuff. Like, they just have those kind of articles that you don't see a lot of other places. But whenever they post one of those oral history articles, it's a must read. And specifically, if it's Zach Greinke, it is. So I went back and I reread their first three. One was from his original stint with the Royals. One was from his stint with the Diamondbacks. And one was just like a round table with just all his catchers from his career. And then yesterday, there was a new oral history that was reuniting with the Royals this year and what that's been like. Goodness. And I spent like an hour at least reading all four of those. Excellent. Excellent. Zach Greinke, one of the most interesting players of all time.
He's a weird dude.
Did you learn anything new that you didn't already know?
I mean, I everything's new.
Okay.
I thought one of my favorite quotes was like, this year some guys were talking about collecting house or like what they collect and stuff, and then like they just asked Zach, "You collect anything?" He goes, "Well, I have a lot of houses."
That's a great answer. Great answer. You know, he's made a lot of money.
They're talking about him golfing. They said that like he could not play golf for like 3, 4, 5 months. Did he just go out there, shoot a 73, 74, like play exact cuts and exact fades? But like he incorporated a leg kick into his golf swing, and he would just go out there and he would play in flip flops.
That's unreal. He's like the guy
or even
that's
like barefoot.
He's the guy that could be like that's kind of good at everything, but then adds his own like weird little thing to it. You know that would only work for him.
And yeah, that's how he is pitching. They also say he's just the most brutally honest player of all time.
Yeah,
that he'll just tell a guy like, "Oh yeah, you suck. Like you were not good today." Like, he'll just tell a guy, like, "Hey, that was a bad swing." Or, like, a pitcher would come back in, and he'd be like, "Hey, why would you throw him a 2-2 fastball in, like, his power zone? That's a dumb pitch. You should have – that should have been a home run. Like, what happened to you was correct." Like, he'd just be that kind of brutally honest. And
which is crazy for,
in,
like, how
a polite
also,
way, though.
Huh.
It'd be like, "Hey, if you don't want to know the truth, don't ask Zach Greinke because he holds no punches at all."
Yeah.
Like he just tells you the exact truth, but he'll also tell you, like, "Hey, that's a good pitch." And he'll tell you the truth in both good and bad ways.
That's really good honesty for someone who also is what they've dealt with, like, social anxiety as well.
Yeah.
Those usually don't go together, but they do in this
and
scenario.
Like, I think it was the Brady Singer was talking about it, the pitcher from Florida that's now in the Royals organization, is a Royals pitcher. They were talking about how at the beginning of the year, like, Zach Greinke had everyone over for dinner, and then he just ordered himself fried chicken and just ate a bag full of fried chicken, and then everyone else was like, "Oh, okay." And Zach was like, "Oh, yeah, if you're hungry, like, here." Like, and then Brady was like, "Yeah, I'll Uber Eats some stuff. Like, that's fine. I'll order everyone something on Uber Eats." And Zach was like, "Oh, you don't need to order Uber Eats." I have my own Uber Eats driver, and apparently he just liked one of his Uber Eats drivers one time and just paid him to be his personal on-call food pickup guy.
Yep.
There's another time apparently that Zach Ricci was like asked Brady if he golfed, and Brady was like, "Yeah, I'm like a 12 handicap." And Zach just looked at him and said, "Yeah, I'm never going to play a round of golf with you. You're not good enough." And just walked away.
Awesome.
I mean, just all kinds of great stuff.
Love that.
So I read that. I finished up the show, The Rehearsal. I watched the last episode of that with like Nathan Fielder.
Oh, yeah. I'm halfway through that. Does it continue to impress?
It continues to devolve.
Okay.
Into just
madness.
Yes. And pure chaos. Where you're like, I don't even know what this show is. I don't know what's real. I don't know what's fake. I don't know what the point was. I don't know if there was a plot. I don't know if there was structurally anything, yet at the same time, there was everything.
It's an amazing show.
I think it was good. Like, I think it was really good. Nathan Fielder, talented.
He's a genius.
I have so many questions, though. And then I watched a movie last night, too. I watched Death of Stalin.
Mm. So you consumed a lot of good media in all different forms.
I really did, yeah. Print, television.
Movie.
I started the show Veep last night, too. I watched an episode.
Wow. Well done. You worked hard.
It's Death of Stalin. 3.5 stars.
Okay. Yeah, that was the movie. Letterboxd rating? Okay.
3.5.
I haven't rated a movie since August because I haven't watched a movie since August.
I think that was the first movie I've watched in a long time. I'm kind of embarrassed, really. That I've gone so long.
I'm not good at movies. I'm not good.
Let's see. I buy log.
It's not really movie season anymore. You know.
When is movie season? That's a good question.
In the off season.
Okay.
I think the winter is also
winter.
Winter is a season.
When you winter, can't go outside.
Winter weeknights and like especially when you get to like bowl season and stuff.
Or like winter Saturday nights in February.
Yeah, when it's some crummy weather kind of. Yeah. You just want to.
It's college football weather. I mean, college basketball.
Yeah, I guess, if there's no good college basketball games on.
Yeah, no, I watched 3 movies in August, Bodies, 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 Nope, and Vengeance, and I hadn't watched one since.
Yeah, No, I haven't watched one since August.
It's been a slow year for movies. Well, we're off and rolling here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. We'll get into, some Tennessee football on the other side? Yeah, we'll get into some Tennessee football on the other side. Stay with us here on the Blitz. Back here on the Blitz live again here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hey, make the switch to White Claw this football season. Make the switch and cheer on the Big Orange with White Claw Hard Seltzer. Crafted with quality ingredients, White Claw Hard Seltzer. It's made from a blend of seltzer water, a gluten-free alcohol base, and just a hint of fruit flavor. 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 5% alcohol. Ditch the beer belly bloat. It's available in many deliciously refreshing flavors. Hey, please drink responsibly. So, yesterday, Andy, we started getting into our position grades for the 1/3 point in the year. You two were both a little bit nicer to the defense than I was. I think I had the secondary at a D+, the linebackers at like a C, and I think I had the defensive line at a B. You guys were all a little bit higher than that, but we all kind of had the same general basis of defensive line at the top, you know, secondary at the bottom, linebackers in the middle when you look at that defense. But today, want to flip over to the offensive side of the ball. Quarterbacks, running backs, your pass catchers, and your offensive line. So we'll go 2-2, Andy. I want to hear you got to go first today. I want to hear quarterbacks and pass catchers. What grades do you have for them?
All right.
Separately, individually.
Yeah. It's hard to be very negative after what we saw on Saturday about our guy Hendon Hooker. I mean, I think Saturday in general was an A+ performance. I know we talked about leading up to that game. There were still some things that you wanted him to iron out. But for me, I mean, you see what he did Saturday. He's currently, number 4 on the Heisman odds list. Not turning the ball over. He's running the ball well. He's throwing the ball good. I mean, 8 touchdowns already through the air. Even Joe Milton, if you want to throw him in there, like, he has been a really quality backup. We've seen him air it out. I think he's one of the better, more experienced backups, if not in the SEC, maybe even in the nation. Who knows? You know, thankfully Tennessee hasn't had to use him in a scenario where, you know, we weren't expecting him to. There was a moment in Florida where it was like, hey, Hinton might be a little bit banged up. Maybe Joe needs to take this drive, and he was even warming up. But thankfully, you know, Hinton was able to stay in. But with those two combined, I feel very good about this quarterback room, maybe even better than any other quarterback room in the nation. I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of other guys' backups. But if we're specifically talking about Hinton, the guy who's played the most, I mean, how can I not give him an A+? I mean, I think it's been an A+ start to the season. Maybe, like, there's been those couple of issues that we've talked about, but, like, no egregious game-changing errors. Maybe, like, a 96 grade. Is that still, like, an A+? In my book, I guess it is. So, quarterback to me, A+. Receiving. Receivers have been good. They have really surprised me in a lot of ways. I know you were surprised about Brew McCoy. Fantastic game against Florida. Jalin Hyatt, fantastic game against Akron. We've seen every receiver step up in a lot of ways. Cedric Tillman, fantastic against Pittsburgh. He even dropped a few balls, though, that he probably should have made. Cedric out against Florida, so we didn't see him. Obviously, dealing with that injury. Ramel Keaton looked amazing on Saturday. I don't know if we hadn't really mentioned that yet, but Ramel Keaton stepped up, I mean, in an unbelievable way. That catch he made laying out for that deep ball was one of the best catches I've seen in a long time. Like, it's not going to be one of those that's like that one-handed Odell Beckham catch, but like, that's a really tough catch, and he made it. I was very impressed with him and his ability to step up. I think we're going to still see a ton of Ramel the rest of the season. And if we're throwing, like, all pass catchers involved, what, Princeton Fant and Jacob Warren. Tight ends, you know, they've been fine. Princeton Fant, a fumble on that first drive against Florida. That was kind of a first quarter killer to cough off the ball in that instance. But I do like the way he's run some really good routes this year, and he looks a lot more evolved than he has in past years.
I mean, I think he even like turned it around in the second half.
I agree. Yeah, he still had a really solid game in there. So I really like what we're seeing from Princeton Fant. And I think it's weird to say, but he might have separated himself from Jacob Warren following Saturday, even though Warren still gets a lot of snaps and is in the game a lot. It's nice to have both of those. So I've been very pleasantly surprised with this receiver core. You knew you had Cedric Tillman, but, you know, the talk was, can Jalin Hyatt step up? Yeah, I mean, he's done great. Leads the team in catches and in yards. Brew McCoy has been a great answer as well. He's very solid. Not going to give him an A+, because I think there are still, you know, some areas where they can improve on, but I'm going to give them an A. I mean, I see no real downside. I mean, maybe I'm just looking too closely at Saturday and not looking at the whole season, but I thought they all played really good on Saturday, so that's where I'm going with an A.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I think you are looking too much at Saturday, Andy, and Saturday was great, and I think Saturday is an indicator that you're moving in the right direction. But would you agree or disagree that there is still room to improve in terms of, you know, Hendon Hooker's play from the first third of the season through the next, you know, two-thirds of the season? Obviously, yeah, it's been really good, but can it get better?
Yeah, I think Saturday was the best, though. I think that's
what, yeah, I mean, I think Saturday, I think Saturday is probably, yeah, the best that Hendon Hooker can possibly play quarterback. I think that is the ceiling, which is a very, very high ceiling.
Yeah,
it's a Heisman-winning ceiling. But, you know, when you look at those first couple weeks, I don't think you can just say that that's been an A-plus from Hendon Hooker, because if that's an A-plus and then, you know, he in the middle third plays three really good games, or, I mean, you know, plays four really good games, then what's that?
Exactly. An A++. It's 100. I gave him a 96, so he's got 4 points to improve on.
I just I think that there was still, you know, if we're looking at this as a whole rather than just the game against Florida, because the game against Florida, A+, period. But include, you know, a Pittsburgh game that had some, you know, some sluggishness. Include a Ball State game with a slower start, an Akron game with a slower start. And I think overall the quarterback play comes out to like right on the line of an A- to an A. And I expect that number to continue to go up. But Hendon Hooker, again, Saturday you saw him reach a new level this season. And I wonder if almost you were kind of waiting to add in that wrinkle of you know, getting his feet involved like you did a year ago, because you had more designed runs and you got him running more Saturday. And I think you've seen in his career when Hendon Hooker is running the football well, it settles him in the game substantially more. And you know, I think he started running early on Saturday, and then he was really just locked in fully. But like we talked about yesterday, I don't know if he missed a read. Like, I think in the second half, there was twice where he looked on the right side of the field and some things opened up on the left. Like, Jalen Hyatt ran a little post corner that could have potentially been a score. But we also, like, we don't know what the play call was. That could have been his third read. And you know, you didn't even work off a one or two because one or two was open. So Saturday obviously was excellent. Saturday for me, again, it makes me feel wonderful about the direction of this team under the guidance of Hendon Hooker. As for the pass catchers, I think they're kind of in the same boat. When they've been at their best, there's been nobody better. But you've had, a couple drops from Cedric Tillman the first couple weeks. You had, like you mentioned, the fumble from Princeton fan. Like you had, you've had some instances where your depth, I don't think, has maybe broken through the way that you hoped. But then again, like Ramel Keaton played really well when he had to step in and go on Saturday. Saturday was also that group's best game. An A-plus on Saturday. But like I said, kind of in the same boat. They're in that like A-minus to A range. And I think the second, third will hopefully look better. Sam, are you kind of in the same boat as us? Or where are you at with your grades for these two positions, groups?
Yeah, I'm pretty similar to where y'all are at. I'm a little probably closer to Charlie. I think, I'll start with quarterbacks, I guess. I wouldn't say we're in the, you know, we're only four games into the season. I don't want to really go into the high A range here for Hooker. He's had a couple, he played a flawless game against Florida, but he's had a couple overthrows at the start of games. He didn't look sharp at the start of that Pittsburgh game. He's been off target on a couple of his throws there. Joe Milton has looked great in his time as a backup. I would give the quarterbacks just like a solid A-. Like, I think they deserve that A grade. I wouldn't put them in the B range, but I think there's definitely room for improvement, like you're saying, Charlie. I think those wide receivers are looking pretty good too. I would probably bump them up a little bit higher into that solid A range. I just think that the depth of that room that we're finding out now is really key for our team. You're going to have Cedric Tillman coming back healthy, hopefully. You're going to have Jalen Hyatt. You've got Brew McCoy, who really had a big breakout game. Ramel Keaton, like you're saying, Andy, like that was one of the greatest catches I've seen at Tennessee. And, you know, there's some guys under Keaton, too, that can still make plays. You got Walker Merrill. There's some other guys in there and some young freshmen that can make some plays. So I think that wide receiver group has been really good to start the year. Those tight ends, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of like a to-be-determined grade. Like, they had some big plays in that Florida game, but you haven't seen us use them as much in those, you know, a couple games with Ball State, with Akron type of thing. So, I don't know, kind of courts out on that one, I think, for me a little bit. And the offensive line, running backs, I think they're both doing pretty well. Like, I would give this...
you're going too far here. I just asked for quarterbacks and pass catchers.
I'm getting ahead of myself, Charlie. I feel like everyone's kind of in this offense just around the same grade for me. Just like the offense has been a very solid, like,
I mean, it really has.
B-plus, A-minus range type of for me.
It really has. So quarterbacks, we're all, well, Andy's at A-plus, I'm at A-minus, Sam's at A-minus.
Yeah, I'm an A-minus.
Wide receivers, you're at an A, I'm at an A-minus, and you're at an A, right?
Yeah, at an A.
And then Sam just went ahead and started to tell us about his offensive line. And
it's a good preview.
Running back grades. We'll get into that on the other side. Hey, Big Orange Philly phone lines are open as well, 865-546-8200. If you want to, you know, chime in, give your opinion here as we evaluate this team through the first third of the season here in the bye week. More grades coming up next. Stay with us here on The Blitz. Back here on the Blitz. Big Orange Philly phone lines again. They're open 865-546-8200. That's your number to call in and hop on the program with us. Big Orange Phillies, located at 6625 Maynardville Pike and Halls. It's a great spot for a quick lunch, for some brews, some food after work. Maybe you want to have a big weekend. Want to go play some pool, some darts, sing some karaoke. I know my go-to karaoke song, Good Directions, Billy Currington. Beautiful. They got some live music on the weekends, too. You can check out their full menu at BigOrangePhillies.com. And if you can't make it in there, well, they deliver via Grubhub as well. It's the Big Orange Philly phone lines. But when we left off, we had just given our one-third season grades for the quarterbacks and the pass catchers. Now, Andy, I want to ask you, running backs and offensive line, are you going to be a little tougher here?
Yeah, I could be a little bit tougher. It's hard to be tough when you've had such a good of a group as the receivers and then Hendon Hooker. It's hard to be a little bit negative. I'll be a little bit tougher for you. The run game, you know, I think in terms of the offense, that's kind of been the area where, you know, that's not been your highest efficiency spot. Like, you know, Hendon Hooker right now is your second leading rusher at the moment. He's out rushing Jabari Small, so he adds a lot to that. He added a lot to it on Saturday. And I know we mentioned going into the Florida game, we wanted to see Jabari Small look a little bit more dynamic. I think we did see a lot of that, see him be a bit more dynamic. He got involved in the pass game a little bit more, but still, you know, there's more we're wanting to see out of Jabari Small in making that jump up to his junior season now. Jalen Wright's got a lot of activity. We've seen him fumble the ball. He's coughed it up before. But, you know, he's running the ball well, 4.7 yards a carry so far on the year, 256 yards. That does lead the team. So, you know, it's a group that we knew could be a little bit shorthanded with Lenith Whitehead out, and you knew that these guys had to step up. We've seen some flashes from Dylan Sampson contribute a little bit as well. But definitely wanting to see more from this group the rest of the season, wanting to see maybe Jabari Small take over a game like we saw from him at times last year. We saw games last year where Tyon Evans really took over games, and maybe, you know, they just need a couple of games to get into that rhythm. Because what was that Missouri game? You know, we saw Tyon Evans and Jabari Small and Jalen Wright. You know, everyone had good games. Jabari Small was making incredible moves against Kentucky. We're going to need that against these SEC teams. You know, you did well on Saturday, kind of relying on Hendon as one of your main rushers. Jabari Small moved the pile, which was encouraging, but you're going to want to see a little bit more oomph, I guess. I don't know what really else you need to see, but just constant energy from this group. You want to feel confident when you can rotate Jabari and Jalen in there that you've got a really big threat that has to be contained no matter, you know, where you are on the field. So I'm going to give them a C just because, you know, they've done some things that have been good, but then they've also done some things that, you know, haven't been the best and that they need to improve on. So I think there's still a lot of growth that this room needs to do. But, you know, there is obviously encouraging signs to move forward.
Yeah, in terms of the running backs, I'd say like a C feels kind of right.
Yeah.
Maybe even C minus. I thought you saw some encouraging things from Jabari Small Saturday. I thought that you've seen some encouraging things from Jalen Wright the prior weeks in terms of him at least running hard. I thought that Jabari Small would be a little bit more explosive than he's shown through the first, you know, 4 weeks. I didn't really expect a ton of explosiveness from Jalen Wright. I expected him to just be more of a good vision, keep your feet moving, you know, pick up the yards that are there, kind of back, and that's what he's been. Dylan Sampson, again, you know, I think he probably is the guy that, in terms of that running back room, that can maybe pop off the big play a little bit easier. But as a freshman, still just a lot to learn to continue to earn your playing time there. In terms of all three of these guys and pass protection, I think, you know, they've taken their lumps a couple times here and there. But overall, it hasn't been noticeably bad. I know that there's one play that floated around Twitter yesterday where a Florida linebacker delayed blitzed, kind of rocked Cooper Mays a little bit, and then completely ran over, I think it was Jabari Small,
might have been Jalen Wright. I know people were upset about that. That's just football.
It happens.
That happens.
It happens,
you know,
to
I can go to the NFL right now and pick out, you know, whoever we think the best linemen in football were, Rashawn Slater, Quentin Nelson, you know, Trent Williams, whoever, and I can find a clip from the first 3 weeks of the season of all three of those guys getting put on their ass. You know, I can find a clip of every defensive player that we think, you know, are some of the best guys. Micah Parsons, I can find a clip right now of him getting put on his ass. Leonard Fournette got him. You know, that's just football. So I don't think you should read too much into that one play on Twitter. But, yeah, just in general, very mediocre. And I think that this group is better than mediocre, so I think they improve upon that. But right now they've just been mediocre. In terms of the offensive line, this is a tough one to judge. You know, I think pass blocking has been good. I think your pass protection has been good. I think Darnell Wright has played exceptional football. I think Javonte Spriggins has played very good football.
Yep.
I think Cooper Mays has been middle of the pack. I thought he'd maybe be a little bit better. Jerome Carvin, solid. Gerald Mincy, you know, he's doing the best he can. You're getting the most, you know, you're getting out of him what you can ask for. Like, you know, he's not a detriment. So overall, that unit, pretty solid, but also schematically, they're helped out quite a bit. And you know, the ball's coming out quick a lot of times, so it's hard to fully judge that. In terms of the run game, you know, most of the time you're running the football, you are running it with numbers, so you think you should get a pretty good push. I don't know if you're getting the push that you'd want, but given the pass protection, I give this unit a B. So a C minus for the running backs and a B for your offensive line for me.
Yeah, I didn't do my offensive line, but I agree with you as well. It's just, it is kind of hard to tell just because you have. You know, Javonte Spraggins get a lineman of the week award, and you're like, oh, that's great. But it is a whole unit effort, and it is just with Hendon kind of doing his thing, you don't often notice either, like, how much this line is affecting things or how much they're hurting things. And obviously Saturday it was good, but, you know, there are times, obviously, like you said, where you're going to get beat and things are going to happen. You give up sacks. Like, you've given up 8 sacks this year, so it happens. So it is hard to evaluate, but I think just for some individual performances that, you know, you've noticed for Mincy kind of just hopping into that spot, that was the one hole that you needed to be filled. I feel like they've done good, but still, yeah, it's not like overly dominant to where you're an A-plus rating at this point. Like, you've got some stuff that you can maybe do better. Run game hasn't been as dynamic. I don't know. It could be a mixture of both that group and the line just getting in better sync. So I'm with you on that. I'll go with the B, maybe a B minus. I don't know.
Well, Sam, we'll get your grades here in just a second because we got a call on the Big Orange Philly phone lines. Again, 865-546-8200, your number to call in. We now head over to Matthew. Matthew, couldn't get you yesterday. Glad we got you today. How you doing?
Doing good, man. And I'm enjoying my Wednesday. How are you guys?
We're enjoying our Wednesday, too. It's a pretty nice day all around. We're about halfway through the bye week, which is, to me, the worst week of football season. So can't complain.
Yeah. Guys, I really don't know what to talk through this. You know, it could take way too long, but, you know, I want to shift gears here. And I kind of want to talk about a hypothetical. It's not if, but when Auburn fires Brian Harsin, how much that could benefit Tennessee.
Okay. I'm not necessarily seeing it here from the start, so how would that benefit Tennessee?
Well, I think I'm going to go back to the well with this one, and I think that Tank Bigsby is going to enter the portal, and either that or he'll go pro. For those that don't remember, Tank Bigsby was the running back that we tried to get that went into the portal and then subsequently just decided to go back to Auburn. From talking to a few buddies at Auburn, he's not happy. Auburn fans aren't happy, so it's not a matter of if but when they fire Harsin. And then there's a couple offensive linemen that I'm actually kind of intrigued by. I know we're going to need some tackles next year. But one name I'd like to kind of hear you guys talk about is, can we imagine the Tommy Tuberville 2.0 effect if Lane Kiffin leaves Ole Miss to go to Auburn? How hilarious that would be to Ole Miss fans?
I mean, Lane, I think this offseason it kind of did feel like Lane potentially wanted out of Ole Miss a little bit, like he wants to continue to climb that SEC ladder a little bit. I don't know. I don't know if that would go – if that would work at Auburn. I guess if you're Auburn, like, Lane's beat Alabama, right? I mean, Lane's – he beat Alabama once, right? At least he's played Alabama well. He knows Nick Saban well.
Has he beaten Alabama?
I don't think he's beaten Alabama now, actually. I don't think so. Yeah. I thought for a second he had. He's not. Oops. Misspoke. But, you know, I think if you're Auburn, like, I don't know, Lane's at least intriguing. After what happened with Brian Harsin, do you want to go to another guy with an interesting personality? I don't know.
Well, if he's going to jump from Ole Miss to Auburn, he's then going to jump from Auburn to somewhere else. I don't know if that's your long-term solution.
Like, I don't know if – yeah, I feel like the next move that Lane Kiffin makes is to his long-term destination that can fully commit at a different level than Ole Miss can completely to football. Because he's really – I don't know. He's built a pretty good roster at Ole Miss through the portal. Like, low-key, it's not bad at all down there. I feel like it may be harder at Auburn, you know, to parlay that into whatever next move he would want it to be. But in terms of Tank Bigsby, yeah, that'd be pretty nice if you could just add – that into your offense. I mean, you know, that's obviously a lot of speculation. I do think Brian Harsin will be gone. I don't think that's really a huge secret. Feels like there's a lot of buzz between him and Arizona State. But I don't know about Kiffin. I would think it'd be cool if you could get Bigsby, though.
I think we're all on the same page. You know, it's not a matter of if Lane will leave. I think we all know he will not retire his coaching career as a Rebel. We're all on that path, right?
It'd be really funny if he did, though. Like, if this wasn't an act, if the come to the sip and you know, everything else, like, if he just actually truly is just fallen in love with Oxford, Mississippi, and he just wants to stay there for the rest of time, I would actually really like that. I think that would be hilarious to me. So, no, I agree, though. I think we all are on the same page. Like, that is not where his career ends by any means.
Well, you know who the O-line coach is for Auburn? And my buddy was like, man, our offensive line is stank this year. Guess who that is?
Is it Will Friend?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that convenient?
He asked me when they hired him after we got rid of Pruitt. He was like, hey, what are your thoughts on this coach? And I said, worst offensive line coach in the history of Tennessee athletics.
No, the Will Friend years were brutal, and like you see, I mean, you've gotten out of it now. Darnell Wright is playing at a level we haven't seen from him. Like, you're getting some really good play out of Javonte Spraggins, Jerome Carvin. Like, I don't think those guys would have been developed the same. Even like Trey Smith, I felt like he played more inconsistent than he should have under Will Friend, and now you see him in the NFL, and you know, even as a rookie, he was one of the better guards. So, No, off the top of my head, like just trying to rack my brain to figure out who all the offensive line coaches have been, but I imagine Will Friend's and his fit here was towards the bottom of that list.
Well, we'll see how it goes. We got a lot of stuff looking forward to this weekend's game. Charlie, I'm going to have Andy, I'm putting you on the spot here. I need you to think of a good Sunday bet for our Colts-Titans week matchup. I need you to think of some pretty good, but we'll talk more about that. Y'all have a great rest of your day, and go Vols.
Hey, go Vols, Matthew. Colts-Titans on Sunday.
Yep, I could be thinking, that's big. We got to get something on the line.
I mean, I can always just spin punishment wheels however many times you deem necessary, but...
You're just craving a little punishment wheel.
No, punishment. I love wheels.
Okay.
And we know this, but in terms of like what you could do, Matthew, if the Titans win... I don't know. Not sure what that could be. Andy, that'll be your job. You got to come up with something.
Okay.
It is interesting, though. Brian Harsin, I mean, we all assume that like he's not going to be the Auburn's head coach next season, right?
Yeah. He's gone.
The direction it's going is obviously wasn't good before the season.
I mean, now your AD's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't seem.
The coaching landscape kind of weird. Time. You've already had Jeff Collins get fired earlier this week. You know, you've had.
What is this buzz about
Scott Frost?
Dion to Georgia Tech.
Dion to Georgia Tech, yeah, that could be interesting.
Yeah.
Could be cool.
Like if I'm Georgia Tech.
He's gonna go somewhere, right?
Right.
Like, surely.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe he just stays at Jackson State forever.
Does Travis Hunter follow him?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably. Absolutely. Yeah. Could you imagine, like, oh, well, Deion Sanders is gone, but, like,
top I'm just recruit in the stay nation. At
the school that has had problems, like, getting us showers that work. Like, I'm, yeah, you're going to leave. You're not going to just stay around. Man, I wonder if that's, you're almost like, if you're hiring Deion Sanders,
so Auburn
you're
almost hired Deion.
Like, you're almost
right
like
the gates.
Getting, you know, at least like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
a couple of top recruits.
Players.
Yeah.
Yeah, just coming with you.
Someone would want that for sure.
So, if you're Georgia Tech, like, I think there's two directions you go. I think one of them could be Deion Sanders, and you think, hey, maybe we can use the star power of Deion Sanders to generate some buzz in a program that otherwise can't.
But
maybe
know,
we can even like take away some of the athletes that Georgia's getting with just the celebrity that is Deion Sanders.
Yeah, that's why if you hire him, you're going to get like the camera crews that come with him. You're going to get a lot more like attention in a good
right.
way, but also it could be a distraction as well. Like it's going to all be documented.
But like if you want to try to go
heavily
toe-to-toe Georgia,
about.
Like that.
Yeah, if you want to compete, like.
But I think also
could be a good step.
I think also a different direction you could go. I think the best direction for me that Georgia Tech could go would be Jamie Chadwell. Like, we saw Georgia Tech when they were at their best, it was because they ran an offense that was different enough and made up for their talent gap. And there's going to be a talent gap for Georgia Tech. Jamie Chadwell can get you back into the option, but it's a modern version of the option. It's no longer, you know, wings and a fullback and, you know, there's a dive every play and a read off of it and you have like one receiver and throw it 9 times a game. No, it's Grayson McCall being one of the more prolific quarterbacks in the country and schematically what they're doing, what's allowed Coastal Carolina with a talent deficit to compete and beat teams better than them because it's such a hard offense and a complicated offense. And when you find a quarterback like McCall to operate it, you know, it's hard to beat. So I think that's where Georgia Tech should go. I think they should go get Chadwell, have him install, you know, the crazy option Chadwell offense there and, you know, see if they can catch up to the rest of the ACC again. But, yeah, some interesting things to monitor. It feels like Carson's going to end up at Arizona State to me. Feels like Nebraska should, like, go get a program builder rather than a big name, but I don't really know what they're kind of thinking right now. And yeah, Georgia Tech, they could really kind of go either direction. We'll go ahead and just keep it rolling here to the end of the hour. Sam, you were starting to say it, offensive line, running backs, your grades?
Yeah. I'll go with the running backs to start off. Obviously, I think y'all were kind of saying what I'm thinking too, like Jabari Small hasn't looked like the guy that we thought he was going to be based on what we saw at the end of the year there once he kind of took over in that starting role after Tyon Evans. He had a pretty good game against Florida, but you know, you just kind of look at some of those earlier games this year and he's not running the same way. I've been impressed with Jalen Wright. I think he's been pretty solid for us, and I think he's kind of it hasn't been a amazing running back room, but he's brought some stability to that room after Jabari Small hasn't had a great start to the year. And like Andy was saying with the freshman, I think Dylan Sampson has looked pretty good too. So I would give that running back room like a I don't know I'll give him like a I don't like doing the grades. I like doing the numbers better. I think that's like a. I think they're like in the 77
numbers
range.
Numbers are more fun, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're like in the 77 range, somewhere around that. As far as offensive line goes, I think they're doing well. I like what they're doing in the pass pro. Obviously, you know, running the ball hasn't been as good as what we thought it was going to be earlier, but I still think that offensive line is doing good. I would give that offensive line like a B grade.
Fair.
Yeah.
Before we get out of the hour, coaching grade.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Coaching grade. Man. On the spot there, A. I mean, I don't have any complaints. Do you have any complaints? Maybe a few. I can't think of any.
No.
Yeah. So, A.
A. Hey.
Hey.
Wait. Yeah. I mean, you cannot complain.
I don't have any complaints.
Can't complain with a 4-0 start here. Offense is looking unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I would give our coaches an A. I think we're building something special here right now. I think we got the ball rolling.
True.
I would almost venture because of some of your special teams errors. I can't give you an A+, but the coaching to me, I mean, they have this roster at number 8 in the country. That's excellent coaching. But even, you know, on the micro level rather than the macro level, when you get into in games, I saw a stat yesterday that stands out to me specifically when you go to analyze coaching. 45-0, Tennessee is outscoring their opponents in the middle 8. That's all coaching to me. That is that's Tennessee getting the possession advantage. And that's what Tennessee has to do right now. The way your defense plays, the way that you know they're going to give up yards, they're going to let the opposition move the football. You know that you're going to have to just let the offense kill you slowly. Opposing offenses are going to have to kill you slowly. They're going to have to pick it up 7-8 yards at a time rather than beating you deep. And you're hoping that before they score, you can force them into a mistake. But by controlling the possessions, by being 45-0 in that middle 8, you're putting a lot of pressure too on opposing, you know, on the opposition, on opposing offenses. Because again, when you get that possession advantage, it's forcing them to be in a position where they have to score to keep up, where they have to score to keep you from being able to extend it to 2 possessions, where they have to, you know, to score to just stay in the game. So when you control the middle 8, and when you keep everything in front of you, I think that that's how you help your defense out. Where this defense is going to give up unreal numbers in terms of yards per game. It's going to look gross at times. It looked gross on Saturday, but you allowed 33 points, and really it should have been much lower than that. That's winning defense in terms of how it relates to this specific football team, because you see Florida, the pressure, you get into Tennessee territory, you go for it on 4th and 2 a couple times, you don't get it because Tennessee has a possession advantage because, you know that you have to keep up with them. It's things like that. Like, you can drive 80 yards, but if you want to get to the 20 and stall out, that's cool. We're fine with giving up the 80 as long as we don't give up the 6 or the 7. And I think that, you know, Josh Heupel and Tim Banks, they've both done a really good job managing a defense that is still not built the way that you fully want it to be built. To me, coaching, yeah, that gets an A. But hour one done. Hour 2 is on deck. Stay with us here on the Blitz.